Ladies and gentlemen, we, people of color, daughters and sons of immigrants, we belong to Europe. I am, we are the story of Europe. Hello everybody and welcome to We Belong, the podcast that gives a voice to the new daughters of Europe. I'm Yasmina Wiran and I'm your host. And for this September, we're entering in a new season, a new era with new stories of women with amazing experiences that I will share with you. This year was full of challenges and opportunities. After months of lockdown, we rediscovered freedom. We were able to travel, but we also witnessed global social protests following the death of George Floyd and demanding justice in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. All this motivates us at We Belong to continue our podcast and to continue in our mission to spread the voice of the new daughters of Europe. We will share positive vibes, boost your ambition, and open the door to new opportunities. Our guest of today interpreted the song of Angèle. Angèle is a Belgian singer and she sang the song Balance ton quoi, which was part of the Me Too movement in France and Belgium, denouncing sexism and women's harassment in the street. And so, what our guest did is something super powerful because she actually personalized the song and she interpreted it, modified the lyrics and actually readapted it to a specific category of women, which is Muslim women living in society and wearing a veil and being harassed because of this choice. Many of them are harassed on the street and many of them are also target of, hateful discourses on media and politics. And so what Sarah wanted to do was to call for respect and acknowledgement of the unique experiences that Muslim veiled women live in their societies. We are going to listen to Sarah Lou and welcome her. So welcome, Sarah.
Hello, Yasmin. Thank you. I'm really happy to be here with you today to share something to your people. I hope so.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. We're very happy. So for every guest, we ask what is a word that defines you and that, you know, inspires you? What is your word, Sarah?
My word, or maybe two, is perfectly imperfect, you know. Perfectly imperfect.
Perfectly imperfect. That's interesting. Why? Tell us more, please.
Because I am not someone that's... I never was this girl that is like, you know, your parents wanted to be, or your teachers, or the society, or your, you know, I'm just me. And I know that I'm not in the case that everyone wants to put me. But I assume what I want, I am, and I know that I'm not perfect actually, but it's okay because it's me, you know, it's just like I am.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's who you are and you own it. I'm imperfect and I'm perfectly imperfect. Thank you so much. That's beautiful. And I will definitely start with this song because I'm very curious to know, how did you have this idea? You literally, interpreted this song that was part of the Me Too movement in Europe, but across the world. And it was a denunciation of race, sexism and harassment. But for you, it was also a denunciation of Islamophobia, isn't it? So how did you have this idea?
Actually, it was not my idea. It was my sister's idea. I have two sisters, and one day, one of them, she comes to me and she told me, you know this Angèle, this singer we love, I love her song Balance ton quoi, and I have written something, maybe you will like it. I was like, yeah, I also heard about it, so tell me more. And she started playing and I was like, yeah, that's really good actually, because yeah, I love Angèle too, but she's talking about, you know, white feminism and Me Too, like white version, and we have our version of the story, and we have our discrimination, racism. So at this time I was like, with my sister, I was like, yeah, we have to talk about that, about our stories too. So it started.
Definitely. And I think it was a way of speaking about intersectional feminism, because as you said, Angèle, she is part of a mainstream feminism where you didn't fit. And so maybe you wanted to also have your saying. And what I find inspiring is that you rewrote the same, you rewrote the lyrics, and basically in one part you say, I will not intervene at the radio or speak at the radio because my veil is not that beautiful, or is not beautiful enough. And I find it very funny because we're often, you know, the target of criticism because of the weight. So did you experience this in your life? How did you, you know, have this idea of, you know, focusing on this veil narrative?
You know, one day I was in an interview in a big radio TV station here in Belgium, and they asked me this question actually. And they told me, you see, you are here, you know, with us. So yeah, you go, you are in the TV, in the radio. And I was like, I was wondering, and I asked the question, is there any woman in your redaction, your office?
Your editor. Editing.
Yeah, with a hijab. Just one. Do you know just one girl? And he was like, no, I don't think so. Just one, you know, it was so big, a big building. I don't know, 1,000 maybe people working there. I don't know. It was so big. It was like, just one girl? No, anyone? So you have your answer, you know. I'm not interested by coming just one time to share my opinion about something, to be chronicle or something like that, you know. I'm worried about who are in the offices. You know, is there women enough? Is there black people? Is there hijabis? I'm not sure about that.
Definitely. And that's a, you know, very important question that you ask them, because often what they do when they invite you, they are, you know, promoting an exceptionalism, the idea that you are, you know, something out of the box, somebody that is just not normal. But normalizing our presence in media is super important. And by the way, your cover of this song had a huge impact. It was shared and watched by thousands and thousands of people. I think more than 200,000, right?
800,000.
800,000. That's crazy. And Angèle also watched it, right? And she wrote you.
She's amazing, Angèle. She's really amazing. She contacted me and we discussed about that. And she was like, yeah, thank you for your vision, you know. Because that was her reality. She talked about what she knows. She can't talk about what I really live here in Belgium. So it was really interesting. And I think a lot of people shared it because it was true for them, you know. When they invite me, and like you say, they think that you are out of the box, you are alone thinking like that and saying these words to the TV or radio. It's not true, because a lot of people encourage this video, this clip. They shared it, they talk about it, because they were concerned by it, you know?
Definitely, they were concerned about it, they felt understood, and I felt that, like, you were giving them some credits, And that's something super important, recognizing the unique struggles, but also the common struggles that immigrant sons, minorities, but also and especially hijabi women. And so that's exactly the moment where I discovered you. And since then, we became good friends. But what people might not know is that you are not only the person behind this successful cover and song, but also you are very engaged in many levels. You are active and committed. And so I would love to share a positive message behind your story. Because, you know, your Instagram is called Molem Sisters. So I would love you to unpack what this means. You grew up in Molenbeek, right? Which is a neighborhood in Brussels. So please tell us more about Molen Sisters. What are there? What are they?
I have grown here in Molenbeek for 18 years. And even I am not here right now. I don't live here. But I'm here, I don't know, 80% of the time of my day, so
because you work here. Also in Molenbeek.
Yeah,
right
I
now,
work
right?
here. There's my family. You know, my parents have a boutique here, a shop. My mother is a fashion designer, so my life is here. And when I hear, you know, a lot of ugly thing that they say on the mainstream media, I'm like, no, it's not like that, you know. It's not like you want to say it. You know, sometimes mainstream media, like, they look always for something, you know, busy to say, something, you know. So they are here with the cameras and a big team to find something to say, but there is nothing to say. That's sad, actually.
Yeah, and by the way, for those who might not know, Molenbeek is a neighborhood mostly populated by immigrants and immigrant sons. And a few years ago, when there was some terrorist attacks, it was the target of, negative narratives because some terrorists were born and grew up there, right? And so it's also difficult to understand the root causes of extremism, but also then how there is also the other side of the story, the more positive narratives. And by the way, you have also worked on those issues, right? On preventing violence and extremism, right?
Yeah. My YouTube channel was born after that. And I was like, you know, I had the feeling that I have to claim my proud to be a part of this neighborhood. It's more like a neighborhood. It's like a, I don't know. But yeah, I was proud. And sisters is because the first thing I wanted to do when I started my YouTube channel is to include my family, my sisters. Actually, it was not like I hoped so. I quickly understand that I have more sisters than I thought, you know. One time I discussed with people here at Molenbeek, and I was like, yeah, I think I will change the name because my sisters are not involved in my YouTube channel, maybe just Saralu. And they were like, we are here. We feel also like we are Molen sisters, you know. It's your community. I was like, yeah, totally.
Definitely, you know, you built a community of people that actually get inspired by what you say, but also that don't feel alone anymore because you interact with them a lot, even on social media. You do many question and answers. You share many sides of your personal story. And you are very young, right? I think you are 26, 27?
28.
28. You're very young. And for a young woman like you, you achieved a lot. You are at the head of an enterprise. You're an entrepreneur. But also, a consultant, you are a YouTuber, and also, most importantly, a mother of two little boys. How do you combine the different roles that you cover into your daily life?
It's not so simple, you know. I think in life you have to choose your fight. You can't be everywhere at the same time and fight against everyone who discriminates you. It's not possible, just that. So sometimes you see something and you don't have the time to stop, you know. You have to keep going in your way because you have something else to do, maybe bigger, maybe something else to do.
Yeah, more important or a priority. You need to prioritize, right?
Totally, totally. You need. If you don't, you will lose yourself.
Definitely, because in this, you know, struggle for, you know, to get your rights recognized, often you find, you know, many struggles, and if you just, you know, focus on the problem, you will never find a solution. So sometimes in order to keep going forward, in order to achieve your result, you need to, you know, close an eye, even two eyes, both eyes.
Sometimes I take a lot of time with my kids, but sometimes I don't have this time because I'm working, because I'm engaged in something. And I think my children will be proud to be a mom that did something of her lives.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, I see also that on YouTube you often, or even on social media, you often involve them or explain your routine life and how you, you know, balance everything. And it's super important because it means and it shows that you can be both. Both a successful entrepreneur, but also a mother, and also a YouTuber that inspires thousands and thousands of people.
But if I hadn't the help of my husband, I think I will do anything of this, because it's really, really hard, you know. And I am lucky that I have a husband who shares everything with me. My business, my family, my responsibilities, and that changed everything, actually.
Exactly, exactly. And I think, you know, it's important to mention this. I think you have a feminist husband, and it's important to have so. It should be the normal that a husband supports you, and you also work together on the same enterprise. You are both digital marketing strategists, and by the way, for people who might not know, you also give trainings, isn't it? So you have a website. Maybe people can check it if you want to talk about it.
ZekiandSaraLou.com. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, with my husband. My husband Zeki, so Zeki and Sarah Lou, it's me. .com, and we have a few training to help, you know, small businesses with their marketing. Often they don't have enough money to work with big companies, you know, marketing companies. So we help them a lot, and we take them with them. We take time with them, and that's really important for us. We do it one time a month, so it's not a lot, but we wanted to maintain this training. It's really important to help small businesses for us.
Yeah, and to give back. And also I know that there is so much potential, and the fact that you open these trainings also not only to businesses, I know that you also do it for individuals, it's super important. So they can create a website, or they create a you know, a marketing strategy around an idea that they may have. So that's great.
I'm really proud when someone is shining, you know, when someone from everywhere, but more from popular neighborhood like here in Molenbeek, but also when I see you, for example, giving some conferences, and you know, I'm proud actually. And I
thank you.
If I can help someone to be like that and someone to shine, I will do it. I think it's important in life, you know.
Definitely, and this is literally why we want to have your voice at We Belong, in order to inspire other women, young women, immigrant daughters, and show that it is possible. So I encourage everybody to check on your website, zakiandsaralu.com, but also on your YouTube channel, Molem Sisters, where you share many tips and advices. And you know, you are very proud of your background, you keep mentioning it, and you also work there 80% of your time. So I'm very, very proud to see this, that you are very close to this, geographic side of Brussels. But Brussels is also the heart of Europe. It's the city where, you know, the European institutions are. And yet, you know, people and young people don't feel that close to these EU institutions. So I'm very curious to know how you, as a Molenbeek woman, but also a Belgian woman, how do you feel? And what's your vision for the EU, for the European Union?
So, you know, in many cases here in Belgium, when, you know, sometimes there are Islamophobia, you know, in industries and... this week it was from a fitness club, for example, and every time we go to court, you know, most of the time we have to wait to reach the European court to be listened, you know. So
definitely.
No, I have a good opinion of Europe, and we have rights in Europe that defend us, and here in Belgium, they forget sometimes, and sometimes we have to remind them.
Definitely. And, you know, I think it's important to be aware of it. But even me, when I go to, you know, some neighborhoods in my city and I talk to young people with who I work, they tell me they don't really know what the European Union is or what the Parliament does. So I think it's important also to bridge this gap, especially in Brussels, right?
Yeah, totally. They do a lot, you know. There are some medicines, for example, that they are involved in, and we don't know. They do a lot. I made two times a partnership with the European Commission here in Belgium. They wanted a partnership where I take the train and I show to my people that it's possible to travel the train. It's more eco-friendly. You save money. It's more beautiful. There are so advantages, you know. And Europe do that too. They invest in environment. They invest in our security. They invest in science. It's a lot of markets. So yeah, I'm lucky that I know that. But I think that Europe should do more about communication and more in popular neighborhood, because people don't know.
Definitely, even more in popular neighborhoods, but also rural areas where people might not really know about what the institutions do. And by the way, that's really interesting that they choose you as an influencer to spread these, you know, information in order to communicate better about it. And it's, you know, a process that they should also do for every policy they promote, because that's the most effective way to reach to young people. So to conclude, I would like to know, how do you feel in relationship to Europe? I know that you have traveled, as you said, by train, and by the way, it was during Christmas, so you did many Christmas markets in around Europe. And how was it, and how do you feel as European? What is Europe for you? Is it culture? Is it, you know, an education? Is it a lifestyle? What is it? Tell us.
I see Europe like a number of laws that protect us, but I don't think that there is one common culture or something like that, you know. Yeah, like you said, I traveled, so a lot of countries, a lot of culture, a lot of religions. I think that Europe is really diverse, and I think that's beautiful about Europe, you know. And that's
united in diversity. Totally, it's really the motto of the European Union, right?
Yeah. So we have some, you know, guidelines that every country respects, and after that we are all different, and we have a lot of different cultures. And thank you for that. Thanks for that, because when you travel, you see different things. Imagine you travel and you see every people are the same and every culture is all the same. It will be really annoying, you know.
Really boring, right? And I think that's the most beautiful part of the European Union. Even though we have different languages and lifestyles and cultures, we are still part of the same common idea of peace, solidarity, and, you know, equality. These values that we should cherish and a lot, right? Well, I'm very, very happy that you are able to spread strong messages, but also to collaborate with institutions and corporates and media. Please keep going, keep pushing hard, and remember that arts, as you did, is a very effective way to change mindsets. And thank you a lot for that, especially that cover we will never forget.
Thank you, Yasmin, for everything and for this podcast. Really, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm really honored to be here.
Well, I will conclude with one question. It's the last question. So for the last question, I will ask you to share a key for every and each and every young person that is listening to us. What is your message to them to motivate them for the new year that is starting, you know, the September academic scholastic year? What is your advice for them?
I think that's the most important thing that I have learned this year is that don't blame too much yourself when you're down, you know. There are phases in life and we have all the same. When you are down and you are a little bit depressed and you are in a bad mood, actually you need this to be strong after that. I don't think that strength comes without down phases. So yeah, don't blame too much yourself when you are in it, and think that it will serve you. You will be stronger after that. It's like, you know, you can't reach levels without being in the first step, you know,
before being very low and very down, and you need to, you know, to touch the floor before growing and rising again. And I agree with you so much. I think the COVID-19 crisis has been, you know, a life changer for us all, and becoming, you know, adapting to the new normal and knowing that it's okay to be down also helps us to then, you know, stand up and push back. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah. Yasmin, for everything.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
To conclude this episode with some positive vibes, but also to inspire you for the new semester starting, I want to share with you my key. My key is a book called The Art of Disruption, a manifesto for real change. It's a guide to be courageous, community-based, but also to disrupt and dismantle the power structures that operate at work, life, and politics. And it was written by Majid Majid, a Somali-born Black Muslim refugee who became the youngest ever Lord Mayor of Sheffield in the UK. And he was also one of the last UK members of the European Parliament before Brexit. Throughout his courage, creativity, and campaign, he is unapologetically himself. And that's the message that I want you to take away from this episode. This was the end of our episode. Thank you so much for listening to us and supporting We Belong, a podcast produced by Le Cavalcade and available on all platforms and on social media. Thank you and stay tuned. Bye!